We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. My Music is a not too serious panel game in which I ask musical questions and receive the sort of answers I very often deserve from John Amis and Frank Muir on the one hand and Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden on the other hand. I thought we'd begin this week with some fairly emotional music, warm, tuneful music. John Amis, this is from a symphony. Question, who symphony?
Singular music, isn't it?
En singulière, if you wish it in French, or in Swahili.
Yes.
No, I'm only saying it because it reminds me there's a rather strange symphony, which is called Singular Symphony, by a Swedish composer called Berwald. And quite often when you can't think who on earth the symphony is by, it's a good thing either to say Nielsen or Berwald, but in this case I think I'll say Berwald.
Yeah, I think you'd be right. I don't know the expression singular symphony. This may not be the singular one. It's the one in E-flat, this. Symphony in E-flat, number 4, sometimes listed as number 3 just to confuse people. But you're absolutely right. It was the Swedish composer Berwald, and it gets you a mark. Oh. Frank, on another musical plane altogether, I achieved a kind of immortality as a composer when this composition of mine was recorded by whom? Not difficult.
I didn't know you'd written that.
Yes.
Mm. It's quite good.
It's right. Considering.
Yeah. It's the muted strings. Yes. It's Victor Sylvester.
That's right. Oscar Grasso, the violinist with Victor Sylvester's Ballroom Orchestra. You're right. And the tune, if anybody wants to know, Faraway Music. Ian, here's some very engaging music and very familiar as well. What is it, Ian?
It's always very frightening, Steve, when you say here's some very engaging and familiar music, because one's going to look an absolute twit if one doesn't know it.
Yes.
Luckily, I do know that. It's a touch of the Edward Germans from his dances from Henry VIII.
That's right.
Do you want any more?
Well, Morris dance, but yes. You've got the mark certainly there, yes, German.
One of the unfair criticisms that have been made of Edward German's dance music is that he wrote that suite of dances for a play about Henry VIII, and then he wrote another lot for a play called Nell Gwynn, and apparently there was no difference between the dances of the Stuart period and the Tudor period at all.
Yes. Well, it's the same now. I do foxtrots to punk rock. So.
Dennis, your turn. I'm going to ask you who the singer is on an old record. This is a song of gratitude, heartfelt at the time, but unperformed since, for reasons which, when you hear it, will become clear.
God bless you, Mr. Chamberlain. We're all mighty proud of you. You look swell, holding your umbrella. All the world loves a wonderful baller.
The song is God Bless You, Mr. Chamberlain.
Yeah, it has been performed, actually, by a fellow called Ian Whitcomb since then.
Yes, but very little performed.
Yeah, that. But you can't reproduce that kind of ringing insincerity. it was Harry Roy, wasn't it?
Harry Roy it was, indeed, yes. Everybody's got a mark there. This next round has a subtitle, Wishful Thinking. I've sorted out four songs that all begin with the words, If I Had. What I want from you in each case, please, is the full title. John, the If I Had of Bing Crosby. Try it on your own without Frank.
I can't hear the music.
Well, I'll, there isn't any, but I'll play you a note on the piano.
Oh, I see. Million?
No. You are splendidly isolated from the world of popular music, aren't you? Splendidly. Well, I can't do it. It's If I Had My Way. Oh. Is the song. No. Frank, the If... the If I Had of Trini Lopez.
If I Had a Hammer.
Yes.
If I had a Hammer in a Nail.
Oh, that's the one. If I Had a
if
Hammer.
If I Had a Hammer.
Shouldn't take long this round.
A hammer in the morning, a hammer in the evening.
It will take long. Ian, the If I Had of Janet Gaynor.
If I had a talking picture of you.
Of you.
Yes.
You can't go any further.
And Dennis, the If I Had of Shapiro, Campbell and Connelly. They're the writers, among other things.
Well... I can only think of two more. One was it was If I Had $1 Million, which is Johnny Mercer. So it can't be. Those three gentlemen must be If I Had You. If I Had You, yes.
That's the one, If I Had You, yes. Not you. There's a popular musical fallacy which holds that music played or performed in a major key sounds happy, while music in a minor key sounds sad. I think that's very often untrue, certainly not always true. Anyway, I thought we'd see how our panellists get on when asked to say whether a given piece of music is in a major or a minor key. So, John, major or minor?
Minor.
Mm. And yet, what could sound more bright and breezy and gay and happy?
Yes.
It's a great fallacy.
I would quote some other examples where they just about to come up.
Don't yet. Afterwards, that's right. So, Frank, your turn. Major or minor?
It's sort of halfway, actually. halfway, it's somewhere between a second lieutenant and puberty.
I think I fully understand. You.
Spirit message.
Yes.
Drifted in from the West Wing. Major.
Yes, I'm obviously making my point here, aren't I? There's a piece of perfectly sad, miserable, beautiful music, and of course it's in a major key. Yeah. Ian, is this in a major key or a minor key? I love the way you looked sad for part of it and then brightened.
Is it like those two masks you see in the theatre?
Yes.
If I was a betting man, which on occasions I am, I think I would go for the forecast there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And say that it is major and minor.
Yes.
Alternating.
The other way around. It's minor and major.
Minor, well, yes.
It's
if it's a forecast, you get it either way.
And then major, and then minor again, and then major again.
I haven't fast got it.
Yeah. That's rather cut down the possibilities for you, hasn't it, Dennis?
Never mind that. Take the pen and start writing.
Dennis, there's a well-known musical phrase known in America as shave and a haircut, bay rum, or known in Britain as how's your father, all right. It also occurs in G. Officer Krupke in West Side Story. I'll play it for you, and I want to know whether it's major or minor. It's this.
Was that the one you were going to quote, John?
No.
What are you
minor, quoting? I would say.
I haven't the faintest idea, but I'm taking Ian's advice and saying minor.
Your answer...
With a savour
your
on
answer,
major.
Your answer is better than Ian's. I'm going to take your answer. Your answer was, I haven't the faintest idea, and you're right. It's completely uncommitted. It's neither major nor minor.
I don't understand.
It could go on from there, or it could go on...
I see, he said unconvincingly. How is your dear father?
Actually,
tell me I'm right.
The notes that he played doesn't involve the thing which tells you whether it's major or minor,
that's right,
which
right.
is a bit further down the key, nothing which is like the major third. If dum ba la da dum tam dee, and you were to sing the chord da 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 dum minor, if it were dum ba la da dum da dum pa
da. Why don't you shut up?
Yeah, why don't you shut up?
I did all that on the piano about 5 minutes ago.
Well, it's cleared up something for me that I've worried about for years.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, John.
I'm
okay,
going to move on to the next round so we can all learn four new things before we go home. John, what, musically speaking, is a sabot or sabot?
Is it a technical term?
Yes, it's part of a harp. It's a Good. Thing on a harp.
I'm
how
totally
do you
glad.
How do you change, how do you sharpen the note on a harp?
You put your foot down.
Well, yes, but what does that do?
Well, there are three pedals. I mean, pedals.
Just take
one. Make it sharper
yes.
or flatter.
Take just one of them. How does it make the string sharper?
It tightens it up.
How? not onomatopoeically, but...
Well, it makes... If it's sharper, it makes it... It tightens it.
How do you tighten a harp string?
I don't know, with a nut or a bolt.
A sabot is the disc on a harp which turns and raises the pitch of the string. It sort of turns the string like that. Can't give it to you, can I?
You can't.
Frank,
can I help you?
Yes, you can, I think. Yes. What would be an appropriate instrument on which to play a flea dance? Particularly appropriate instrument.
A flea dance?
F-L-E-A?
Yes.
Comb and paper.
Why? That is not the right answer. you don't
I thought you,
know.
I thought you knew you were being helpful.
Does anybody know in a word in the audience what would be an appropriate instrument on which to play a flea dance? Don't know, do you? It's the ukulele.
Because, the ukulele?
Yes, because uku means flea and lele means dance.
Oh, come on.
Yes. What a nice thought. Yes. Ian, it's your turn. For your mark, give us a roulade. Any roulade.
Well, I wouldn't mind a chord of C major.
Oh, all right.
Something of sounds that's true.
We started
yet. What on earth its course can stay?
One can but fall back in a maze. With so fine a roulade as that.
Would you accept that?
I would indeed. I'd love it.
What was it?
But supposing you'd given him...
It was, Frank, a rapid vocal run sung to a single syllable. Frank, your friend Addison, the essayist, said a nice thing about roulades. He said, I have known the word and pursued through the whole gamut, have been entertained with many a melodious thee, for, and from, to the eternal honour of our English particles. Nice expression, yes. Yes, yes. As in so much of Handel, of course.
A splendid story of a soprano who was waiting in the wings to come on in Pirates of Penzance to sing Poor Wandering One, who suddenly had a terrible moment of mental aberration and turned to the next person in the wing and said, I've forgotten the words of Poor Wandering One. And the person down there said, it's all right, just goes,
yes, right.
Is the derivation presumably from roulette going round? In other words, something that goes round and round?
Yes, I would imagine.
Well done.
Dennis, I saw a reference in a musical article to, and I quote, the German type with a frog held underhand. Could you give an explanation?
You read some funny things, don't you?
I do, actually. I read some very funny
Kermit.
Things.
Addison, yes.
He's a frog held underhand.
Yes. Very true, actually. The yes. German type with a frog held underhand.
Herr Kermit. The German... I don't know. The only... I'm trying to wrench it into a musical context. Would it be... the frogging on a military bandsman's uniform, because then you get the German band, you know, that sort of thing, and
in the, presumably the frogging epaulette in a German band is put on in the underhand way so that you allow the other hand to play the euphone. I'm talking absolute nonsense. I presume that you have some kind of credible answer.
You're right, actually. You're absolutely right. Except the frog is to do with a double bass bow. The frog's a double... A general definition, of course, for frog is a fastening handle or loop. So it was an article, really, about double bass bows in which you play your double bass.
Well, I've lived half a century without knowing that, and I'd be perfectly content to do the other half also.
It may crop up again sometime in your life, and you'll amaze everybody by knowing the answer, won't you? I'm going to do some piano playing now, just some middle bits. One for each person. John Amos, the middle bit of what is this? Middle bit of what?
Hello?
Frank has a different answer than the one I expected from you, I think.
I can't hear you.
Tell him, Frank.
I was going to say it reminded me of one of those sort of Viennese operetta
yes,
things.
Yes, good.
And my friend here on my right says, I remember Vienna.
No, it isn't. No.
You knew that you rused us.
It was originally from the Emperor Waltz, Kaiser Waltz, by Strauss, and it became known popularly as I'm in Love with Vienna. I'm in love with Vienna.
Well, I just remember what you do is your own affair, Theodore.
Well, that's fine, because I'm going to dock a mark. Frank, what was it you thought it was? Something about remembering Vienna.
I remember Vienna.
See if you can recognise this. What's this the middle bit of?
I probably won't. Da-da-lum, da-dum, da-da-lum.
Title,
I Will Remember Vienna.
I will give you that, although it's still wrong. It's You Will Remember Vienna.
I did remember Vienna.
That's right. Ian, different kind of song, different nationality. The middle bit again. Middle bit of what?
It's no good nodding at me, Dennis. You'll have to...
Oh, I thought you knew it.
No, I knew the tune, but...
Sorry, but then I'll do it in my... I did it in joining uprighting, so...
Autumn leaves.
Yes. I thought you were one of those people for a moment who can read reading but can't read writing. That was a nice distinction. Autumn leaves, yes. Well, you get it, your side gets it. Dennis, you'll have to cut out your brains a bit for yours. Middle bit again.
Me with southern skies, can you know, with a million lullaby of the leaves.
Lullaby of the leaves, yes, you've got a mark. Lullaby of the leaves. Right, after hearing this next piece of music, I want each of you, if you will, to say what you think it might be called, or perhaps what it ought to be called. And then we'll see what it is called. So it's one piece of music for all the four of you. Right, listen. I think it's over. John? Title.
Lord Snowden's House.
Why?
Because he built the birdhouse at the zoo.
Oh, that one. That's rather ingenious. That one that looks like a tent. Yes.
That's
birdhouse.
It.
Lord Snowden's birdhouse at the zoo. Fair enough. Right. Frank, a title?
I think Young Dog. Playing ukulele with fleas.
Appropriate, yes. We'll do nicely. Ian, have you a title?
It was extraordinary, because I'd written it down before John said, I had exactly the same thought as John. I'd written down Tragedy in the Parrot House.
You're slightly more dramatic, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
Dennis, any idea?
Well, I thought it was a combination of instruments that might have been put together by Dali, so I think of it as Sing Along a Salvador.
Actually, it comes from George Crumb's electric string quartet, which he calls Black Angels, 13 Images from the Dark Land, as he has every right to call it, of course, if he wishes to.
I don't even believe the name George Crumb.
C-R-U-M-B, so it's an American composer. In this last round, the singing from all quarters, the order being slightly changed. John first, then Frank, but then Dennis and Ian to close. And all the songs refer in one way or another to top people. John, tell us in song about Lord Melbourne. Lord Melbourne.
I am an Englishman, born by birth. Lord Melbourne is my name. In Devonshire I first took breath, that place of noble fame. I was beloved of my men, of kings and princes likewise. I never failed in anything but one great victory. Now on a bed of sickness lie, I am resigned to die. You generals all and champions bold, stand true as well as I. Stand by your men, take them on board, and fight with courage bold. I've led my men through smoke and fire, but now to death I must yield.
Frank, how long is it since you left Eton?
Oh, about an hour and a half ago.
I guess
well,
you
near
might,
Eden, actually.
I guess you might pass through on your way from home.
Yes.
Well, wherever you were headicated, you must know the Eton boating song, I think.
Jolly, jolly, jolly boating weather. A harbour's breeze played on the bed, shade off the trees, swing, swing together, your body's between your knees, swing, swing together, your body's between your knees.
Dennis, you next. Can you describe the rather special girl you met at Bali Bali? Another of those dig back in the memory songs.
Do you want it major or minor?
Yes.
Are you going to give me some touch-ups? It happened on the beach at Bali Bali. I found her dreaming on the golden sands. It happened on the beach at Bali Bali. It wasn't long, for we were holding hands. And as we strolled along the beach together, we kissed and then she promised to be mine. You could have knocked me over with a feather when she told me that she came from Caroline. I tell you what, Steve, do you remember there was a Marx Brothers film where Chico Marx played this in the way that Chico Marx used to, and I've always wanted to play, you know, where he sort of brum and he hits the note with his finger. Did they teach you that at the Royal Academy? Go on.
I bet you, it's on. Hard to do, but I'll have a go with it.
No,
it's very hard to do that.
Give him a motor hooter and he can be Harpo. Yeah.
Two marks to you, one, only one to me.
No good try.
Ian, one of my favourite clergymen is also, I think, one of yours, Father O'Flynn. Can you give us...
What? A priest, we can offer a charming variety, far renowned for learning and piety. Still, I'd advance you without impropriety. Father O'Flynn is the flower of them all. Here's a health to your Father O'Flynn. Slaunchy and slaunchy and slaunchy again. Powerful as preacher and tender as teacher and kindly as creature in all Donegal. And still at all seasons of innocent jollity, though quite avoid in all foolish frivolity, where was the playboy could claim an equality? Add comicality, Father, with you. Once the bishop looked grave at your jest, till this remark set him off with the rest. Is it lave gaiety all to the laity? Cannot the clergy be Irishmen too? Here's a health to your Father O'Flynn. Slaunchy and slaunchy and slaunchy again. Powerful as preacher and tender as teacher and kindly as creature in our Donegal.
Now, I'm afraid we have to end. We hope you've enjoyed the show. You might just like to know it's been a victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.